It's time for Football Friday with Bill Savage, presented by Boyd's Royal Knight on Government Boulevard in Mobile, featuring $8 weekday lunch specials, analysis and insights, the winners, the losers. Get ready for the weekend with Football Friday on FM Talk 106.5.
Oh, here we go, FM Talk 106.5, and it is a Football Friday with General Manager of the Hot Shots of the AAF Alliance, also the host of Football Philosophy podcast, extraordinaire commentator on all things football, and also the author of Fourth and Goal Every Day, and a thing he doesn't like to admit to, but my buddy Phil Savage. Hey, man.
Sean, how are you? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. And I need the help this morning. I'm going to take copious notes because we have this college pick'em challenge we're doing with the audience, a few hundred of us in this mix. And let me just say, I'm not breaking 500. Okay, I'm not breaking 250. Okay, I'm at the bottom of the barrel. I need some help on this weekend's games.
You're below the Mendoza line, under 200,
that's
huh?
That's right. That's where I am. That is where I am. So,
tell you what, last weekend was not friendly to most. I mean, it was absolutely my worst showing of the season as well. And there were some surprising games and results last weekend, especially within the SEC, I thought.
Yeah, for sure. But and before we get into this weekend's games, I want to talk about the Hot Shots for just a second, because the news coming out yesterday, the team is really coming together now. You guys have an offensive coordinator and one that's known well around this area. Hugh Freeze, the former Ole Miss coach, is going to come be the offensive coordinator for the Arizona Hot Shots. He's going to play under or coach under head coach Rick Neuheisel. So I'm thinking that is a steal, Phil, because he is a great offensive coordinator.
Yeah, we're going to freeze the valley, Dalton, with Coach Hugh. And I tell you, the backstory on it is that Rick Neuheisel, of course, covers the SEC for CBS. And when he started, when he got that assignment probably 5-6 years ago, he went and visited all 14 SEC programs and schools. And he was at one of the Ole Miss practices. Hugh's ability on the field, his philosophy of offense, really grabbed Rick's attention. They hit it off, and they've been friendly really ever since. And you know, with those that know, you know, what went down at Ole Miss with the NCAA infractions, and then of course the off the field situation that really derailed Hugh Freeze's SEC career, he's been on exile island here for a year, and you know, just almost seemed unemployable at the college level. And so Rick and a few others have stayed in touch with you over the last year, and Rick said, look, I've got a new opportunity with the Alliance of American Football. I want to hire you as our offensive coordinator. And so anyway, Hugh accepted the job. This has been going on for several months, but last Saturday, as a matter of fact, I actually went up and met with Hugh outside of Starkville, and then went to the Auburn Mississippi State game. But you know, I think he's really hungry for this opportunity. It's oftentimes when you don't have the dismount that you want in college football, you have to come through the professional door to get going again with your coaching career, and hopefully that'll be what happens with Hugh and the Hot Shot.
That's perfect, and I really can't wait to see his creativity once he starts calling the plays coming up after the NFL season. And one team here in the SEC that would probably like to see some of that creativity on their offense, the Auburn Tigers, who just seem to not be able to get anything going on offense. They only scored 9 points in that loss at Mississippi State last weekend and failed to rush for over 100 yards for the third consecutive game. And tomorrow at 11 a.m., the Tigers host Tennessee. Of course, that'll be right here on FM Talk 106.5. So I'm thinking this could go one of two ways. Either the Vols cure what ails the Auburn offense and they start getting things going tomorrow, or they break Auburn, and this could, you know, be it for the Tigers for the rest of the year if the Vols are able to somehow win this game. What are your thoughts on what's going to happen tomorrow in Auburn?
Well, it was a rough outing in Starkville last Saturday night, and I was there. And I tell you, the Auburn offense is at its best when they truly have a dual-threat quarterback, Cam Newton, Nick Marshall, down the line. When they've had more of a classic drop-back passer, whether it's been Chris Todd or Jeremy Johnson and now Jarrett Stidham, if that's the case, they need sterling offensive line play. and they just simply have not gotten it. They've rebuilt their offensive line. It's not as good as it was a year ago. And with Jarrett Stidham not really being a running threat, it has derailed the centrifuge of their offense, which is rushing the football. And, you know, the numbers bear that out. Jarrett Stidham, so far on the season, minus 17 yards rushing for the year.
Wow.
And so when you're not getting any production in the run game from the quarterback, which brings a safety into the box and now creates the one-on-one situations outside with your receivers, their offense is really spinning their wheels right now. And I don't know what the fix is. And it's not Jarrett Stidham's fault. It's not really Gus Malzahn or Chip Lindsey's fault. It's just a little bit of a square peg and a round hole in terms of the philosophy they have, and in conjunction with the quarterback that transferred in there and Jarrett Stidham. I think Stidham's still a bona fide NFL prospect, but in this offense, they definitely need a QB that can take off and run with the football. And Stidham's been more of a scrambler than rather a guy that they have runs designed for him to actually carry the ball. And you contrast that with Mississippi State, mm-hmm. who really turned the corner last weekend. I mean, they look like a different team with Nick Fitzgerald running. He carried it 28 times for 195 yards. But he's 6'5", he's 240 pounds. He's like a tight end running the ball.
So
it was a real contrast watching that game last weekend.
And how short is the leash now on Stidham? Because his backup is able to run the ball, Malik Willis. He might not be the quarterback that Stidham is, but if he gets the offense moving a little bit better, how long do you think they wait tomorrow if the offense still isn't doing anything?
Well, if it sputters at home tomorrow, then maybe you would see a transition to Malik Willis. Look, Tennessee's coming off of a bye week. They actually fought and hung in there against Georgia. They were on the verge of getting blown out, but they hung in there and covered that point spread. But most importantly, they seem to maybe buy into what Jeremy Pruitt's trying to sell. I still think Auburn's the better team. I think at home they should be able to win this game, but you know, I'm expecting it to be a lower scoring kind of contest because both offenses have really struggled so far this year.
Another 11 a.m. game tomorrow. Number 14, Florida plays at Vanderbilt. And Gators, of course, coming off a big win over LSU last weekend. And sometimes there's a big letdown after one of those wins, especially when the game begins before noon and it's an away game. Do you see that happening to Dan Mullen's team at all tomorrow? Any kind of letdown?
Well, you would think that Florida will be able to carry some momentum because they're on a bit of a roll right now. They've sort of won ugly, but that was their best performance last weekend, and they really played well in the clutch key moments of that contest, especially in the fourth quarter. I don't know that Vanderbilt's good enough to beat Florida, even if the Gators have an off day, to be quite honest. But this is a proverbial trap game for the Gators. It would derail all the positive steps they've taken so far. So I don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to buy the Gators on the road against Vandy.
At 2:30, the SEC game of the day, a top 25 matchup in Baton Rouge between number 13 LSU and the number 2 ranked Georgia Bulldogs. Now, Tigers need to bounce back after that loss to Florida, and I would say this is probably the first tough defensive matchup for the Bulldogs this season. How do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, this is put up or shut up time for LSU. They got off to a fast start. They were the darlings of the SEC, really one of the top stories through September and the early part of October. And then, you know, they go down to Florida in a game that I thought that they would win. I trusted Joe Burrow more than Felipe Franks, and it actually went the other way. And so now they face Georgia. Their schedule really toughens up. You know, they got Mississippi State in another week, then a week off, then it's Alabama. So LSU can go from 5-0 to 5-3 real quick. And this is an important game for them at home in Baton Rouge. Of course, it's a daytime game, not at night. But I think Georgia has proven to be the second best team in the league. I think it's Alabama, then Georgia, and then I think there's another step down to everybody else. So, mm-hmm. You know, if Georgia is who we probably think they are, I believe with Jake Fromm, they can go in there and win that game. These are two teams that typically don't play each other that often, so this is a tough crossover year for LSU drawing Georgia from the East. But I think LSU is going to come back to earth here pretty quickly in the month of October and early November.
How big of a difference does it make playing in Baton Rouge at 2:30 compared to starting the game at, say, 7 p.m. or 6 p.m. when it's a night game?
It's definitely a different atmosphere when you're there for a day game versus a night game. You know, the fans have all day long to get lubed up.
That's right. Yes, yes.
For Saturday night. And, you know, that's what Tiger Stadium in Death Valley is really known for. They have not been as successful during the day as they have been at night over the history of the program. So it's definitely different. It's not as daunting, not as loud by day as it is at night.
And the biggest SEC favorite on the board tomorrow, of course, the Alabama Crimson Tide. They're 28-point favorites at home over Missouri.
Trap game. Trap game.
The only question mark I'd say right now for this Bama team is the secondary, and they keep losing players to injury. Missouri, a team that can really move the ball once that offense is rolling. It'll take a lot of points, though, to keep up with Tua and that Tide offense. Do you think the Tigers can make this a game tomorrow at all, Phil?
I think Missouri, you know, based upon the way they ran the ball against Georgia, I think they'll sort of take a similar page. You know, Derek Dooley is the offensive coordinator there under Coach Barry Odom. And so in saying that, I think that they will try to run it and take some of the air out of the game, so to speak, try to limit Bama's possessions. Look, your best defense against Alabama is having an efficient offense. And you know, some of these teams have poked a few holes in the Bama D. You know, as I mentioned a number of times over the summer and the early portion of the year, I said, you know, people are going to say Alabama's defense is taking a step back because they're not trying to slam the door on every single opponent. They're getting such a huge lead offensively that the philosophy is just a little different. I mean, the defense is playing a complementary role to the offense for the first time in 12 years under Nick Saban. So they've given up some yardage. They've given up some points. Obviously, Arkansas, you know, threw 31 up on the board. But at the same time, I don't think Mizzou can make much of a game of this, especially in Tuscaloosa. So I guess it's a big deal that Dixieland Delight is making its return. We'll see how long this lasts. But nevertheless, that seems to be more of the focus than anything else. And, you know, The reality is that this Bama offense is that dynamic. Even on the defense's worst day, I think Alabama will be able to outscore most anybody they play.
Well, I think it was Miss Terry who told us to behave ourselves during Dixieland Delight. So we have been duly noted. We have been informed of our responsibilities.
You're supposed to say beat Auburn, not the other one, not the other words.
That wouldn't happen, would it, Phil?
Well, we're going to see how much Kool-Aid the stadium drank on this one. the Crimson Cathedral will be rocking tomorrow night on homecoming.
Great stuff. Once again, remind folks, too, that when the NFL season is over, they'll be able to check out more football with the AAF Alliance. Talk about the timeline on that.
Yeah, our season will start the weekend after the Super Bowl. So when most people have that hangover from football season, there won't be one this year because there will be four Alliance games each weekend, two on Saturdays, two on Sundays for the next 10 weekends after the Super Bowl. And, you know, go check our AAF.com shop out. There's some pretty neat gear on there in terms of hats and shirts and all that sort of thing. And hopefully it'll be more than just a collector's item in 10 years.
that's for sure. Yeah, let's hope it's considered vintage and not a one-off, for sure. Of course, a podcast, Football Philosophy, and author of Fourth and Goal Every Day, which, speaking of which, we are, even though it's not even Halloween, you know how the world works, we're in the Christmas shopping season, Phil, so somebody wants to get a copy of that book, talk about how to do that.
Yeah, you can go online at any of the retail outlets, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. And then, you know, all the local retailers have the book on their shelves. As a matter of fact, I had a luncheon yesterday, and We sold about 20 books to a small group of local businessmen, and so it's maintained its consistency here through another Alabama season. I tell you, I'm gonna have to go back and write another chapter if the Tide rolls up another national championship and get a reprint going with St. Martin's Press.
That's right. Get the addendum, the new expanded version. Yeah, they were even quoting your book title as part of a discussion last week on the Feinbaum show. So it's almost made it into the vernacular. They just say, you know, like Phil says, it's fourth and go every day. So it's now made it into the lexicon, and that's a good thing. All right, Phil, as always,
Thanks, Sean. Hey, always enjoy it, guys. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up next Friday.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you. Phil Savage and Football Friday. We do it every, oddly enough, Friday, right here on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5, brought to you by Boyd's Royal Night. Big thank you to those folks for making it possible every Friday. Go check them out. Great lunch, maybe a Friday lunch there. Check them out any day of the week, and check them out right there on Highway 90.
Yeah, and their Facebook page always has their specials, too. You want to check that out. Some great specials at Boyd's Royal Night.
All right, 827 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along on this Friday, and it finally feels like fall. Wow. We got down to it. Let's see what it's up now. Because it was 50. I know. You have to be the dissenting voice. That's fine.
It's like,
usually that's
it's
my
like
job.
The U.S. Supreme Court.
You're in writing the dissent, Kelly Finley. 59 now. It was down to 54 earlier today, and it's finally feeling like it should in October. This pretty fantastic weekend weather scale. Not a 2, but a 1.9, what was it?
1.9140.
Mm-mm.
Best we've had in 7 months or so.
It's been a while, for sure.
So get out and enjoy that. Warming up for Kelly over the weekend, though, it will get up into the upper 80s again by Sunday.
Listen,
so.
If this were the U.S. Supreme Court and I were Judge Finley, yeah. I would totally toss this out of my courtroom.
You've been voted down.
I know.
You're writing just a dissenting opinion.
So I'll just applaud from a distance.
There you go.
I'm happy you're happy.
I'm loving it. I'm feeling it. You know, it's, as I was saying, the... yesterday evening, the dogs were already feeling it, doing their dance, you know, doing like the dance in the Irish jig out on the back porch there with the cool weather. And then this morning, running laps and leaping, like just jumping up for no reason, just jumping, just like, ah.
Anybody with a dog can totally picture that, too.
Yeah, it's a dog barometer. You can, you can just look out your kitchen window and say, what are the dogs doing? Ooh, it is nice outside. Look at them. They're frisky out there, for sure. Hey, this segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Junk.com. So you got a weekend ahead of you. It is going to be beautiful, but you got the work stacked up for getting rid of junk. Do this. Just make the appointment today for next week to have Trey and the crew come out and then say, done. I can get to doing whatever I want to do this weekend outside. 1-800-GOT-JUNK makes the junk go away. It could be at your office, could be a storage unit, could be in your house up the very sketchy ladder, attic ladder stair thing with the springs. Or it could be, it could be in a spare bedroom. It could be in a storage shed in the backyard. Listen, they don't care. You got junk, you need it gone. You need my buddy Trey and his crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or just pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. The other one's 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And the phone is the 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, let's do this, too. Before we run to the update here, weather-wise, from Dr. Bill, tickets go on sale this morning for Jim Gaffigan. That happens at 10 this morning with Ticketmaster.com. Also charged by phone, 800-745-3000. The show coming up May 11th. Okay, tickets go on sale today. It's going to be at the Wharf Amphitheater. Jim Gaffigan, his Quality Time Tour. And we're looking for caller number 6 at 343-0106. 343-0106. Take caller number 6 back there in the control room. We'll take 6 and get them the pair of tickets to go check out this show. And for everybody else like me who wants tickets, tickets go on sale this morning, 10 a.m. Ticketmaster.com, charged by phone, 800-745-3000. All right, we come back more on what is going on in to our east in the Florida Panhandle. A lot of groups from here are already making their way over there to help. I know that Alec Naiman this morning, the reason he wasn't telling us what was cooking is because he was cooking for those power crews over there. Terry sending us those pictures over there where he's doing search and rescue. I know that we got a note here from Cecil. He is collecting supplies and heading over for a Panama City run, collecting supplies from 9 to 10:30 this morning. We'll give you more details on that when we get back right here on Mobile Mornings.
Thank you, Kane. 8:36 now here on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. And right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton, how are you, big guy?
I am doing great. So you're over at McConnell Automotive today, like you are most days. And I know Oktoberfest is ripping and roaring as we get towards the middle of October here. Tell me more. What's going on with Oktoberfest at McConnell Automotive?
Well, the first thing is it actually feels like October, right, Dalton, for the first time.
Finally, it does. That's right.
Great weather. You know, we continue to send our thoughts and prayers to those along the panhandle. First of all, we're going to be involved in relief efforts. But thinking of deals and stocks, Dalton, this sale we're having has been one of our customers' favorites. And I don't know that everybody listening knows about our dealership. We've been there since 1955. The lowest pressure, we have better prices than anybody on Buicks and GMCs, we think, really, in the country. But this sale is because we have that new 19 truck. I don't know if you've seen that 19 truck.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal. And it's just creating a bust-at-the-seams situation where we have about 55 2018 models, Z71s, Yukons, Acadias. So the time to buy a GMC has never been better. So we just want to make everybody move fast because people are taking these things kind of like hotcakes off the shelf, man. It's happening. And Dalton, all they got to do is go shop our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, or come see us.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Have a good one.
Take care, buddy.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right. Speaking of relief efforts, too, I know that Mitch mentioned that. Cecil checking in on the text line here, and he's taking supplies over today. Says supply run for Panama City from 9 to the collecting from 9 to 10:30 this morning at D. Michael's Restaurant in Theodore. That's 7101 Theodore Dawes Road, Theodore Exit 13 off I-10. They're looking for water, snacks, easy-to-fix canned goods, and a gas card to help him get there and get back to do the delivery. So that's going on today, starting at 9 o'clock this morning till 10:30, getting those supplies. I know that there's going to be more organized efforts. I said this at the beginning of the show. We're talking the 6 o'clock hour. While I know everybody's hearts are full of trying to help right now, a lot of the agencies I've heard from, they're working there right now. They don't know all the things they need. I have a feeling that next week we'll start hearing specific items needed. So keep that in your heart and wanting to help. Maybe there are more people like Cecil that are helping right now. But if don't let it wane, because it may be next week that they say, okay, now we know, here's what we need. And, you know, because I think that makes sense to get in, assess the situation, not just get a bunch of stuff that will just sit somewhere. And then they're going to come back and say, okay, we need X, Y, and Z. That's now, right. You had talked about giving blood. That right. is something that's needed. And you can give blood, and that's going to go to help, of course, the people in the affected areas and also people right here at home, because you got a large swath of the population in the Florida Panhandle that I can guarantee you, if they're regular blood donors, doing that right now is not on their to-do list.
Right.
I mean, you know, if there's a certain supply that comes from blood donors there that live in Mexico Beach or Panama City or Apalachicola, I tell you right now, they're not making that regular appointment. They're trying to pick up what may be left of their home or fixing what's left of their home right now.
I'm so happy you pointed that out.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can hop online and look for the different locations. Life South always talks about the different times of the year when you know, the supplies are low, which is summer, you know, holidays, but something like this, they really want to, they appreciate the donations, because you pray to God that you're never in the situation where you need this. We have a cousin, Chef Pauly, in California, and every month he donates blood and platelets.
Yep.
And it's something that he does, and he posts on social media to try to get more people, you know, involved in doing that, because that's the gift of life.
Right.
And you may not have many funds, but that's something that if you're able to, boy, does that really help so many people. And then speaking of funds, I know we've talked to people who have said gift cards really help, because that allows, you know, whomever is on the other end of that generous gift to be able to purchase exactly what they need.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing worse, like you're saying, than getting all these items, which are great, but it's not what your family needs. So then you have to pass up a donation.
Right. So you get the people that go in now. They're in the area affected, and we'll be getting the information, I'm sure, through the weekend and early next week, specific things needed. I saw this story out of Panama City. The Sam's Club there is open, and they're not requiring the membership card. You know, I always get that. By the way, side note, you ever get the sweats, like when you're going in there, that if your card's not, like, active or something? I'm always worried that, and like I go in, I'm like, are they going to card me?
There's a way around that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because they want to see the car when you walk in, but if you...
Not always, so if you kind of just look at the floor and walk quickly...
Don't be that guy.
I'm supposed to
so
be there.
Suspicious.
I just wait until there's a big push, crush of people coming through,
cute.
And then I take that right flank, and I kind of mm-hmm. go... I'm telling all my secrets. But
I
what
know.
I'm saying is the good thing is Sam's Club there in Panama City has opened their doors, and they're selling everything they have there to whomever comes in. So that is going on. But there are the two hospitals in Panama City were closed.
Yeah. They're hoping by today to build a makeshift hospital in order to help those in need, because they are prepared for situations like this based on where this community sits, you know, in our nation.
But there's going to be more, and there are going to be more entries here. I mean, I don't know what the stats are. I know the fatalities are 11 now from the storm throughout the swath of the storm.
Hearing 11 and 12.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's now double digits, but mm-hmm. yeah.
And five of those come from Virginia, where yeah. I guess there was pretty bad flooding.
Yeah, so, there's flash flooding there. I had that in the news this morning, and that's why, because it's impacted so many different states, is why these numbers are going to continue to change.
Right, and Swarth, what I was going to get to, though, is there's those fatalities and the sad news, but also there's injuries now, but there will be, the reason these hospitals are so important, I've watched it many times, hurricane cleanup, right now, I can tell you right now, there's people going to be injured over the next week, 10 days,
That's right.
The process of cleanup. It's just, I mean, it just happens. You know, it just happens. So there's no, I mean, if you're out working, whether you're professional crews out there working to do cleanup and road work, or linemen working for, you know, putting power back on, or just homeowners picking up. I mean, it's not that I want it to happen. I've just seen enough that at some point, with there's 3% or 2% or 1.5%, whatever it is, of the people that are doing cleanup are going to get hurt somehow. And if they have to then try to get an ambulance and get back and get way yeah. away. So yeah. it's good that they're putting that facility back together in the area of Panama City.
And I think it's important also to impress upon people that American Red Cross, this is the time when they are there to assist. But be careful online. If you're trying to donate, if you're trying to do the right thing, make sure that you're donating to the appropriate agency, that it's been vetted, because unfortunately that's the flip side of situations like this. But I do have a question for you, Sean Indall.
Okay.
The hurricanes that you have been through, when you mm-hmm. look back, were there items that you wish you would have had more of, or are there items that you said, I don't know why I got so much of this, because I really didn't need it, my neighbors didn't need it, it's one of those things. Is there something that really sticks out in your mind?
You know, I can probably see what other people... not really for mm-hmm. me, because the items that I will stock up on before a hurricane are things I will use, meaning, you know, gas for generators, right? So, and I have lots of the cans, the gas cans there, and I'll fill those up and have those for the generator. And, you know, if I can, I get the non-ethanol or whatever, but I get whatever gas. Mm-hmm. I'll still use that, you know, even if we don't use it in a generator after the storm. Things like water, we get some bottled water, things like that. But for volume water, we fill bathtubs and 55-gallon plastic drums and things like that to use. So I just can pour that out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are things that people can probably buy, but I've never been, like, stuck with something, because the things I would buy to eat too, and I won't. I mean, if we buy a bunch of canned goods, okay, I'll eat those soups. I mean, I'm good with that.
Yeah. I just got something this last weekend that I didn't have mm-hmm. that I'm glad I have now in case something like this comes up. And we were just talking about Sam's Club, you know, these box stores. I went into Costco and they had a pack of nightlight things that you plug into the wall that mm-hmm. also function as flashlights and also function as USB phone chargers.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm.
And
nice.
And it came in a three. So that's something that I'm really glad that I went ahead and picked up in case something like this happens. But Sean, I got to ask, those gas cans, are they the older ones that don't have that safety seal on those?
I have
on
a
there
mix.
That's so annoying?
I have a mix. I have two. Well, no, there's three, because there's one at the farm. I have three total, but two at the house that I covet. Mm-hmm. They're the old ones with the vent in the back.
Yes.
I'll probably have a black van pull up at my house and get me now, but I have two of those. And then I have a bunch of the new ones, and then we have a bunch for the, you know, I have to have a bunch of the big diesel ones for the farm, but also for the transmitter. So I've got, if you go in the transmitter building with me out there, you'll see that whole row of them back there. That's for filling up the big diesel generator to keep us on the air.
That black van is the Costco van, the Sam's Club van. That's the van that's going to come get you, sir.
Okay, that's fine. I could, you know what? Because I could use the rest. I mean, if they want to come get me, I could use the rest. All right, we got folks waiting on the phones. We'll get to the calls. We're going to run to a quick news break, come back, talk to you at 343-0106, 343-0106. And congratulations to
Will Whiting. Won a pair of tickets to see Jim Gaffigan at the Wharf May 11th. Should be an awesome, awesome show. I love Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, funny guy. And tickets go on sale this morning at 10.
and get your tickets, and we'll see you down there in May. All right, coming right back. All right, 850 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Friday. 343-0106, 343-0106. That's the digits, whether you want to text or call. And remember, check us out online, fmtalk1065.com. That's the website with show schedules. Get a podcast, get online opinion poll questions, the top three, the three big things each day. Big news stories going on out there, which one of them, I don't know if I guess I could play the audio. I could play the audio because it's been edited by our news partners at WKRG, but maybe I'll just keep it out there as a reason to go to the website. Or I have dubbed it the perp walk of the week. You know, the perp walk, y'all, where they take the suspect from, the jail. They're walking them to the vehicle or vehicle to the jail, those kind of things. And so the reporters will take the microphones and say, "Why did you do it? Why did you do it?" Or, you know, those kind of things. And this guy has a interesting take on the accusation made against him. So y'all can check that out. It's one of the three big things on the front page of FMTalk1065.com.
He's pretty sure he didn't do
he's
it.
He's pretty darn sure he didn't do it. So,
and you know, outside of the one word, he has very nice manners.
Yeah, he does. He does, and he uses the one word to emphasize. He gets bleeped out, but you could guess. It's not a tough Mad Lib to guess what word he uses there.
Oh, like Kanye West visiting President Trump in the Oval Office. Mm-hmm. When some news organizations were able to bleep it out and some were not.
Well, so I go to run it yesterday. I had a bit of a rant, which I want to get to that in a second. I do want to remind y'all, tonight, another great event at Cottage Hill Package. Plantation Rums coming tonight to Cottage Hill Package Store. Award-winning distillery. Making Waves, I get it, with his premium rum lineup, kind of an island thing. They're going to be on hand tonight, giving you a chance to sample their original dark, their three-star light, their Stiggins pineapple rum.
That's the one I have to try.
It's like SpongeBob square pineapple rum. Overproof 69%, five-year aged rum, their 20th anniversary, and maybe some other surprises. So a rum tasting, quite often there'll be craft beer tastings, but this is a rum tasting tonight. So for rum aficionados, tonight's your night to hang out at Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. These events are free. They usually start at 6. This one's at 6. And it's in the back of the back lounge there. And Cottage Hill Package. And what's nice is you come out and do the tasting, you know, sample, find out. Maybe I like Dalton likes the pineapple rum, and I might like the original dark or whatever.
I do,
and
too.
And Kelly likes them all. But you'll find out a rum you like, and then you get to buy a bottle. But also, they bring swag out to these events, which is cool, like stickers and hats and those kind of things. And they're doing this all the time at Cottage Hill Package. Great way to keep up to date with them is go to their website, cottagehillpackage.com. Even better yet, like them on Facebook. You'll get updates for all the great events going on with the Manis Boys over at Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. All right, so we're discussing a couple things here. Also, I wanted to tell you, Dalton, you discussed those plug-in light things you bought at Costco.
Yep.
I didn't get a chance to tell you about this, but you're in a good situation with those, but we bought those at my house.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They're the emergency lights, and they plug in and they're charging, so somebody, even though I'm a Boy Scout, so I got flashlights everywhere and backup batteries, but if all of a sudden it's dark, where people can find those lights, because they're illuminated right in the hallway, and you grab it and you use it as a flashlight. That is unless your children decide they ought to... Right now, I think we have one out of the pack that is plugged in.
Oh,
I have found more. I found one outside. I found them in the couch. And so they're an emergency light if you can keep the children from taking the lights place. I'm just venting.
And I guess I need to clarify, because we did get a couple texts about this. Somebody said, what good is the plug-in with the USB port if there's no electricity? I'm trying to understand.
They charge up. Okay.
Yes.
While they're plugged in, y'all, we have them. When I can find them, we have them. They stay plugged in the wall. They're charging. So when the power goes, you have a certain amount of battery power stored in them. So you could then turn the light off if you want to save it as a battery charger for a USB or use it as a flashlight, you mm-hmm. know. So there it is.
And it's important to have your phone charged for any situation you might find yourself in. But I was following reporters yesterday from our area that were heading into the area where the storm caused so much damage, specifically Cassie Fambro from NBC 15. And she was keeping everyone updated on her journey, of course, traveling on I-10, which was so backed up heading eastbound yesterday. And cell towers down, of course, with so much destruction along there. And it was also hard to find battery charging for your phone yesterday. So all the reporters that are heading out there, our thoughts are with the reporters as well as, of course, the people that were affected directly by the storms yesterday. But
cell towers are down. That's one of the reasons we couldn't talk to Alec Naiman this morning. A lot of towers down. People that I communicate with in the radio world, broadcast radio, there's a cluster of towers over there in Panama City for several different radio stations that they're all down. They're all down, and they're moving in. They're moving in some mobile antenna units, towers, and antenna units this morning. All right. Speaking of which, Mary, on with us right now. Mary, are you? You're from Panama City. Are you there, Mary? Hello, Mary. You got Mary.
Mary.
Okay. Yeah, we did have Mary. That's happening all across the various states. With these, you're talking about the cell towers being down and the loss of connection. You know, these are times. I know one of our news hits. We talked about how Verizon was making a way for their people to not have to deal with any type of bills associated with making calls and those
uncapping the stream and all that. Here's the problem: they can do that, but if the physical infrastructure of the people. You don't have to if you don't work in the world I work in. You don't have to think about how radio waves travel and microwave waves, cell phones travel. But they're not just every. They have to get there. There's a reason towers are so So if Verizon can do the right thing, but if their physical infrastructure is down there, then it can't help.
But I'm big on the perspective of hope and the fact that if the cell towers are working, it's good to know that there is help coming from a totally different direction that you never planned on. Because when something like this happens, I'm sure you automatically think, oh, my ATM card's going to work and my cell phone's going to work. And so knowing that you have that little assistance, that's all I was pointing out.
All right. Do have Mary back in because I'd like to get her on here before the end of the show. Barry? Okay. I don't know what's happening.
Huh. Phillip,
I'm just going to... if there's something something they can, because it says from Panama City had a question about a fundraiser, so I wanted to help. That's why, Mary, you can hold on or call us back off air. I know this, that we got one note this morning from Cecil, who has been a listener a long time here at FM Talk 106.5. He said he's doing a supply run for Panama City, 9 to 10:30 this morning, Daking Collection at D. Michael's Restaurant, 7101 Theodore Dawes Road, Theodore Exit 13 off I-10. Looking for water, snacks, easy-to-fix canned goods, and a gas card for gas over and back for the delivery. So we have that on our list, but I think we'll probably have a lot more by Monday.
Yeah, that's for sure. And we'll list any supply drives or anything like that we see. We'll put those on our social media pages so that everyone can check those out because, of course, this isn't our area's first rodeo with helping out other areas because we've been helped when we go through things like this. So Mobile and Baldwin counties both do a lot of good whenever something like this comes up.
Yeah, let me add this to it. And Texter just sent this through. Unnamed Texter, you are right. And I had that on my list of things today. Local ham radio operators, they have headed over. And so they're helping with communications. Obviously, ham radio, big deal when you lose regular communications. So they're working Panama City area. They've been deployed there. So that's good. And thanks, Greg. Greg said AT&T doing the same thing as Verizon. Just got to have those towers up. All right, we'll tackle this and a whole lot more when we meet again at noon today. Y'all have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. Lori Ingram next.